Welcome back to the Ozone Layer Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Ozone. I need to address some things that I forgot to address in episode one. I never told you who I am and what I'm about. I'm based in Massachusetts and work in the media industry. And I made that a reality because I've always wanted to work in the media industry since I was in high school. I ended up going to community college first and transferred to a university about 45 minutes away from where I live. And I ended up getting my bachelor's degree in communication with a concentration in media production, and I minored in theater as well. I've done podcasts for class projects, and especially after I did my senior project, I got the itch to do my own podcast once I graduated. I decided to combine my love of gaming and music and comics to create this podcast. Episodes will be out weekly to bi-weekly with guests from each of the industries I have mentioned. This podcast will be available wherever you get your podcasts, with the exception of Google, because I still have yet to figure that out, but I will, don't worry. And episodes will be posted on YouTube as well. So anyway, let's get on with the show.
My name is Javon Stokes. I am a writer, artist, publisher, letterer, colorer, graphic designer, animator, everything. I'm a graduate of Savannah College of Art and Design, 10-year veteran in the comic book independent industry. Currently have two franchises of books out, Heat and Strong. And I'm just a guy that loves comics and loves art and loves making them.
Welcome to episode 2 of The Ozone Layer. As you heard, I'm speaking with Javon Stokes, and he is a local artist based in Connecticut. We'll be talking about his influences, why he started this company, comics, a little bit about conventions, and a little bit about sports and pro wrestling. Without further ado, here is Javon Stokes.
So what made you want to create your own media company?
Well, it's funny. I always tell people it's because I want to be my own boss. So, but it really boils down to one of the things that I enjoy doing is just being creative and not within one particular realm. Like, you know, I might want to make a comic book, or I might want to write a novel, or I might want to make a cartoon, or I may want to, you know, make holiday cards. Like I've done, you know, like I want to go through different venues, different avenues to express my creativity. And so the best way to do it is kind of just start my own business and kind of, you know, run the show. So that's pretty much where it came from.
And how long have you been running Visually Stoked Media?
Officially, it's been Visually Stoked for about 10 years. Okay. But I've been freelancing, doing different projects since I was maybe like 18. And, you know, I've been doing freelancing for a while. So the company used to be called a bunch of different other names. It was Javon Stokes Studios. It was J Lingo. It was a bunch of other names. But once I really started taking it seriously, I wanted to do a new name, one that was unique to me, one that kind of expressed what I wanted to do and what I was about. So that's where it came from.
Why did you want to create comics?
Man, comics are pretty much how I learned how to read. That's a bit too much. I knew how to read when I was young, but yeah, it helped my vocabulary. You know, when you're reading, you know, X-Men and Chris Claremont is putting all these, you know, $10, $15, $20 words. I would go to my mother and go, what does that mean? She'd be like, go to a dictionary. And I would keep going back and forth from her to a dictionary. And then eventually the dictionary was just next to me. And so it really did help my vocabulary. It helped my reading. But I just love comics. Truth be told, the medium has always had a love. I've always had a love for it. And, you know, all my best memory. Well, a lot of my best memories as a kid are reading comics, are reading X-Men, Spider-Man, Superman, Batman. It's just the love has always been there. It's a sickness.
All right. So as a comic book writer, who are some of your biggest influences?
My biggest influences are probably Mark Waid is one of my favorite comic book writers of all time. Christopher Priest,
great,
Dwayne
great.
McDuffie.
Love Christopher Priest. I loved his Deathstroke run he did.
I didn't get to it yet. He's so prolific that I don't never get around to reading everything he writes. But Priest, Dwayne McDuffie, Grant Morrison, some of the people that I read now that I love are Al Ewing. Al Ewing is amazing. I was a big fan of Geoff Johns for a while there. His Flash run, his Green Lantern run, those are like front and center for me. But I mean, if I want, I can do this all night because you know there's so many. Counting all the indie people that I'm running into who are amazing writers that I can, and I'd be here all night.
One of my favorite Green Lantern runs was the Geoff Johns rebirth into Blackest Night and Brightest Day. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. I love that. I love the Sinestro War. And I started reading Mark Wade. I have volume one of Mark Wade's Flash, and so good. I love it.
I've got them all. I'm looking at them right now. I generally follow creators more than I follow characters. The only characters I love are that I'll generally follow is Captain America, Nightwing, and Black Panther. Like I'll follow those three characters pretty much most of the time, pretty consistently. But you know, so Mark Wade, he's done the Flash run. He did a great Justice League run. One of my favorite books of his is Irredeemable. I freaking love Irredeemable. If you've never read it, you need to read it.
All right, I'll add it to my list.
Oh, it's the best. What if Superman went bad? To me, it's the best one. It's the best one.
And Justice did a pretty good job too.
He did, but this version of Irredeemable is kind of like, it's not like Injustice was like, okay, one bad thing happened to Superman and then he kind of lost his crap. This is like incremental. Like they show the incremental things that led up to, you know, the character losing his mind.
Like outside of comic books, who are some influences, like outside influences, whether it be music, media, like any other form of media influence you in general?
I'm a big movie guy. I love watching movies. A lot of times I try to take what I'm watching, like if I'm watching a good movie, in my mind, I'm like, how would I turn this into a comic book page? How would I frame this as a scene? Some of my favorite directors are David Fincher, Steven Spielberg. I was just watching Hook today. Everything of his I can watch over and over again. I always butcher his name. Aronofsky. Aronofsky? Darren Aronofsky.
We apologize if we get your name wrong.
if I butcher your name, I'm sorry. He's one of my favorite directors. And there's just so much. So I love watching movies. I'm a big movie guy. I love good long form TV. And then honestly, wrestling.
Okay.
I love WWE wrestling. I love AEW wrestling. I don't get to sit and watch it as much as but I keep up with it. You know, there's something about the drama of it that I love, the athleticism. And then I'm a sports guy. You know, I love football, basketball. I mean, not a big baseball guy. I love volleyball. I love playing volleyball. But those are the things that are the hodgepodge that if you squeeze them out, you get me.
Let me ask you this. Who's your favorite football team?
I'm a Patriots fan, man. I'm a Patriots fan.
I'm a Colts fan in New England.
this is a great interview. I got to go now. But no.
Hey, my mom's a Broncos fan. She's been a Broncos fan since the 90s because of John Elway.
Okay. That's fine. Listen, I used to make fun of people when they have their own particular teams, but you know, we suck right now. So, gotta take my humble medicine and just sit back and suck until I can say something again.
I'm in a fantasy league with a bunch of Patriots fans and an Eagles fan and a Ravens fan. So it's tough.
I couldn't do fantasy football this year the way I wanted to. I actually had a team, but I was traveling so much. I was doing so many Comic-Cons that I was, you know, not able to really focus on, like, I would forget to reset my lineup and everything like that. By the end of the end of the season, I had guys that were on IR starting, and I just gave up.
Man, so back to wrestling real quick. Did you get a chance to, like, watch any of Sting's final match at eight?
I didn't see the final match, but I saw his him talking to the crowd. I didn't get to see the final match. I don't buy pay-per-views. That's a young Javon's thing. I don't buy pay-per-views. So
I watched it. I'm not gonna say how, but I did watch it.
Okay. I heard it was brutal.
It was good.
I was never the biggest Sting fan, but I always respected him. So, you know, I'm sad to see him go, but, you know, I'm glad he's been able to walk out as opposed to, you know.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
A lot of those guys don't get to do that.
No, unfortunately. Rest in peace to Bray Wyatt and Brody Lee.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That actually hit me harder than I thought it was going to. Like, I was kind of, like, genuinely sad when both of them died. It was kind of like, wait a minute. But, you know, I like to see wrestlers be able to walk away. And so, you know, some of them overstay their welcome.
Of course.
I prefer, you know, to see them kind of gracefully bow out.
It's always the best way. Always the best way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you approached or have you been approached by, you know, the bigger comic book publishers, Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, etc.?
Not really. I had a CB Sobolski, am I pronouncing his name right? The editor in chief at Marvel. He reviewed my years ago, pre-COVID, reviewed my portfolio, and then I gave him a couple of copies of my book. And then, you know, he was like, oh, okay. And he gave me his card, and, you know, he told me to get in touch with him, and I did. And then he's one of his assistant editors basically put me in a tryout to do covers. And they gave me like three options. They were like, basically pick one. And I was like, I'm going to do all three, and I'm going to do them in color, and I'm going to put the dress on the covers and everything like that. And I think, you know, I probably should have followed directions, but I didn't. So it didn't go well. It's not like they, you know, hey, you know, started throwing work my way. But that was earlier in my comic book journey. Okay. I'm not the artist that I was then. I feel like I'm a better artist now, but I haven't really tried to get their attention like directly. Since then, I've been really focused on putting out my own books, you know, getting better as an artist. And, you know, in my mind, you know, if they want me, they'll, you know, if I'm meant to work with them, I'll find my way to them. Like, we'll cross paths. It'll naturally happen. 'Cause I spend a lot of time hanging out with guys that do work at, you know, Marvel and DC, and, you know, it's not like people are falling over to sign me, but, you know, I've gotten some good feedback, so that's bad.
So I'll ask you this. So have you gotten like good, like, you know, constructive criticism from other artists and, you know, comic book artists and writers at all the conventions you go to?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely gotten good feedback. I've gotten some, you know, help, some good advice. It's funny, someone asked on Facebook, they were like, have I ever gotten bad advice? And I was like, I don't think I've ever gotten bad advice. I just, people kind of tell me stuff about their experience. But, you know, I've had a couple of, you know, creators that I respect, you know, look at my books, and, you know, they give me their feedback. They'll, you know, they'll read a book, or, and they'll say, well, you know, this is pretty good. You should try such and such and such. And, you know, most of them are like, just keep pegging along, just keep getting better, just, you know, keep working. And that's really what I'm trying to do.
All right. So your books, Heat and Strong, what inspired you to write those?
Okay. Heat originally, and I've told this story so much, Heat was a college project where we were supposed, it was a 3D modeling class and we had to create a character and then model the character. So I came up with this little boy who wore like a sock for a mask and he had his mom's dishpan gloves and he wore a jersey with a Miami Heat jersey. And it was his superhero outfit and, you know, he was called Heat and, you know, he controls heat, light and everything like that. And after the project was over, I really liked the name and I really liked the powers, but I hated everything else. And I think it was a byproduct of spending so much time to work on it. So I scrapped the design, which I might end up using for something else, but I scrapped that design and I kind of built him back up. And, you know, Heat is me. It's basically what I would be as a superhero, maybe the younger version of me, me in my 20s, you know, being unsure of who I am, what I want to do and everything like that. That's Heat. Heat is insurity. It is, you know, it is the fire of youth. And so I use Heat to kind of as a therapeutic vehicle, like whatever I'm going through at that particular time, I funnel it into Heat. Strong, on the other hand, was originally started as a character for Heat, like a foil, like his Catwoman. But over time I developed the character and I kind of made it, it was a challenge to myself to create a character that my wife would like. And my wife likes very powerful female characters. And so while I was going through the process of rebuilding that original character again, like I did with Heat, I was like, you know, wait a minute, Strong? Like nobody's using that name. Nobody. Like I was shocked. So I was like, I'm going to run with that. And so I built her within Heat's universe. But instead of her debuting in his book and kind of looking secondary to the character, I was like, let me establish her in her own book and then we can do a crossover so that they stand as equals as opposed to, you know, like, you know, a lesser character.
Okay, cool. So with Heat and Strong being your two titles right now, do you have any more in the works?
I have a horror book that I have the first script and a half for the first two issues done. I don't know when that'll be out, but hopefully it'll be out soon. I have a children's book that I've been working on and off. I have a book, a teen book that I'm working on. If you're caught up on Heat issues 1 and 2, you are already introduced to Defense Omega. The government sponsored team, Defense Omega. I am putting out at least a one shot, and we'll see how, you know, the reception is for that. And then last but not least, I just started developing a script for kind of an all ages family friendly book that I'm not going to talk about just yet because it's really in the infant stages. So those are the projects that I've been working on. Hopefully that'll be out within next 2 years.
And I will have the link to his website in the description of this podcast. So guys, keep an eye out.
Yes. Yes.
So has going to free comic book days and comic conventions and just any conventions that have, you know, comics and artists part of them, has that helped you gain a little following?
Yeah, I mean, it happens naturally, especially for me. Like, I know in Massachusetts and Boston, I have a pretty decent following because I go there a lot. I did Northeast Comic Books, Comics and Collectibles. That was in Boxborough, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is it Boxborough?
Yes.
And then I did Fan Expo Boston. I've done Fan Expo Boston the last, like, 2 or 3 years.
Did you do it when it was still Boston Comic Con as well?
No. No, not yet, not then. And then I've done, mice. I did mice last year, Massachusetts Independent Comics Expo. That's what it's called. So I did that. So, you know, if you go to a place long enough, you kind of develop a following. I've done Baltimore, obviously in Connecticut. I've sold quite a few books just around the different events I do here, and then Terrificon. I'm always at Terrificon.
Great convention. One of my favorite small conventions in general. I've been in New York. It feels like it's small, you know. I like it better than no offense to Rhode Island Comic Con. Like, it's big, but I don't know. Terrificon has that just like feel to it. Like, it's small but big at the same time. You know what I mean?
No, I got you. It's actually one of the bigger cons, and this is talking from somebody who's been to a lot of the bigger cons. It's getting up there. It might be in the top 10, maybe close to 5 on the East Coast.
Oh wow!
Mitch is great. I love Mitch. But I mean, I would say it's not as big as New York Comic Con. Mm-hmm. Or Dragon Con, mm-hmm. and probably not biggest Mega Con, but it's probably as big as Baltimore, which is a bigger con. Mm-hmm. I would say it might be top 5.
Are there any free comic book days and conventions you are planning to attend, you know, this year?
this year, I will be at Boston Comics and Color. I think that's the next big one. But I will be in New York at, it's called Shirt Factory. Shirt Factory Convention. This Friday, I'll be at CliffCon, which is a smaller con here in Connecticut. Like I said, I'll be at Boston Comics and Color. I'll be at Dragon Con. I'll be at Blurred Con. I'm hoping to be at Fan Expo Dallas. I should be at Baltimore. I'm gonna be around and at a lot of different cons.
That's great, getting your comics out there. Good to see. So, any advice for upcoming comic book artists, comic book writers, to share?
Man, there's a lot of advice I could give. Probably if I would give advice, it would be like a top 5 thing. Learn how to market your own book. If you can't sell your book, then no one's going to care. Like, you have to be the biggest cheerleader and the biggest advocate for your book, and then you need to learn how to sell to people in person. You know, like, you can't be sitting at your table, you know, if you're at a Comic-Con, you can't be sitting at your table just staring down. Like, you got to, you know how to talk to people. I would say make a book, just make it. If it's not great, that's fine. But you learn from the process of making a book so that the next time you make a book, you can make it better. Learn every part of the process of making comics. Like, learn how... If you're a writer and you can't draw, just try and draw a book based on your script, so that you can kind of get an idea of what the artist has to go through. It'll make you a better writer. If you're a writer and an artist, learn how to color so that you can have an idea. You can have a better idea how to draw, you know, your stories. Learn how to letter. Learn every aspect of the book you can. And then figure out who your story is for. That will dictate your market. That will dictate the tone. That will dictate everything you need to know. Those are my biggest pieces of advice. Oh, and do as many events as possible. Like, I know a lot of, you know, comic creators struggle with finding time, but that's the best way, in my opinion, that's the best way to get an audience, is to be out there and be in front of people. So do as many events. Doesn't have to just be Comic-Con. You can do I've done a Christmas wreath event. Like literally, they made Christmas wreaths, but they had other vendors. I was the only comic book guy there, but I was killing it because I was the only comic book guy there.
All right, cool. Thank you. Javon Stokes of Visually Stoked Media. This will be out. Hold on. Cut that out.
All right.
Thank you, Javon. And until we see each other again, maybe at a con this summer, maybe at a free comic book day event. Until next time.
Awesome. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thank you.
Terrificon is one of my favorite conventions I attend besides PAX East. And I've been to a lot of conventions throughout the years. I've been to New York Comic Con 3 times, Anime Boston, Boston Comic Con before it got bought out by Fan Expo, Terrificon a few times, PAX East 5 times, and Rhode Island Comic Con once. And I plan on attending some of these that I stated, and plenty of ones I haven't attended in the future. Anyway, thanks to Javon for the interview. His website, like always, will be linked in the description of the podcast. Next week's guest is TBD. Until next time, this is the Ozone Layer.